welcome to Why This Movie, a podcast about our favorite movies and why we love them so much. Today's guest is Angela Reigard-Rand, a public relations professional and former broadcast journalist.
This is the most fun thing I'll get to do all day.
No, surely not. You have two dogs.
No, you're more fun than them. The puppy is still learning, we will say. He is, he's a handful, but he's very cute.
So, Angela, how do we know each other?
How do we know each other? Well, we met through my husband, Chris. You go way back with Mr. Matthew Rand. Mm-hmm. I was frequented your podcast a time or two, and you were just one of those people that when I met you for the first time, I was like, I love this guy. I mean, you just have great energy. And I knew right away that we would also become friends. And so that was the coolest part about meeting you.
You know what? You've never told me that.
I mean it. That's Look, really I'm like sweet. Tearing up genuinely.
That's
I
really
mean
sweet.
It. You're the
that,
best.
You know what? That makes my day. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Angela, like, what movie are we talking about today?
If it's not blatantly obvious, Christopher, today we are talking about a millennial favorite and my favorite, the Lizzie McGuire movie. Now, I will say, is this critically acclaimed? No. Does the movie even really make sense? If you've seen it, it really doesn't. But it is my favorite. And it's that movie that I go back to and I'm like, this is girlhood. Like, this is it for me. It's nostalgic.
I was 17 throughout the year 2003, so I was too old to be much interested in the Lizzie McGuire movie, but I was at least aware of it. I have two younger sisters, and I seem to recall the Disney series flickering across the television screen from time to time. The movie, which came out 2 years after the series had premiered, finds Lizzie, played by Hilary Duff, in Italy on a class trip after graduating from middle school.
My name is Lizzie McGuire.
You are an outfit repeater.
Does she not have anything better to do than make my life miserable? Welcome to the most important day of my life. My big chance to show the world who I am. Nothing ever seems to go my way. But now, the trip of a lifetime will change all of that. Okay.
Honey.
Mom.
Honey, she can't breathe.
I'm going to the place I've been dreaming about my whole life. The greatest city on Earth.
La Città Eterna.
Rome, the Eternal City. Did no one read the info packets?
Rome, if you want to.
Goodbye, home. Hello, Rome.
People have come from all over the world to make a wish and toss their coin in the Trevi Fountain.
Now, I won't tell you what I wished for. But what I got?
Isabella?
Huh? Was Europe's hottest pop star.
Isabella used to be my singing partner, and you're like twins.
Cool!
But we broke up. I had this crazy idea that maybe you can take her place.
I'm really not good in front of crowds. I won't even let my mom hear me sing in the shower.
On May 2nd, an ordinary American girl...
You're actually going to perform in front of all these people?
...is getting the chance...
We'll find you the perfect outfit.
...to become Europe's hottest new singer.
I'm on the front cover of a tabloid.
Liz, you'd be so busted.
I'll go get the passports.
Walt Disney Pictures presents...
This is so beautiful.
Yes, you are.
Goodbye, Lizzie McGuire. Hello, fabulous.
The story of one girl who had to choose between a life of fame and leaving the life she loves behind.
I don't think I can do it.
Hilary Duff is Lizzie McGuire. The Lizzie McGuire movie.
While visiting the Trevi Fountain, Lizzie is approached by a young man named Paolo. This guy is an Italian pop star and cannot believe how striking the resemblance is between Lizzie and his former singing partner Isabella. He asks Lizzie to meet him at the fountain the next day. She agrees and slips away from the chaperone, Ms. Ungermeyer.
I don't have much time. You know, my chaperone, Ms. Ungermeyer...
Wait. I have to show you something.
Sometimes your words are valid.
Come on.
Paolo hops onto his Vespa, bringing Lizzie along for a ride through the streets of Rome.
Wow!
I just thought you should see Rome the way Romans do.
So you knew that I would come?
I hoped you would.
Are you sure you know how to drive this thing?
This is Rome. Nobody knows how to drive.
Now, I should say that this does seem kind of cliched, but having been to Rome, there actually are a lot of Vespas zipping through the streets like this. Paolo explains to Lizzie that Isabella has left him and the country, and asks her to fill in by lip-syncing at the upcoming International Music Video Awards.
So what happened? I mean, what changed?
Isabella did.
The real Isabella or me, Isabella?
You. A reporter heard us speaking in front of the gelato shop, and he reported Isabella's voice was fine. And he said her English was very good, by the way. But then the record company called, and now they're going to sue if we don't sing.
What? So they're gonna make you sing? I mean, us sing?
Don't worry, Karina. I'll make this work. Look.
It turns out that the real Isabella and Lizzie are both being manipulated by Paolo, but they get the last laugh at the International Music Video Awards, where Lizzie's family, Ms. Ungermeyer, and Lizzie's classmates all make their way into the audience. Lizzie and Isabella, Hilary Duff in dual roles, together sing what dreams are made of.
I could almost kiss the stars for shining so bright.
Lizzie McGuire was created by Terry Minsky and ran for 2 seasons before the movie, and featured Lizzie navigating the trials and tribulations of adolescence.
The show is really like just about this girl, a young girl. I believe she's in middle school when we first meet her, and just about the things she's going through, like whether it's like puberty related stuff with her parents, stuff with her friends, just trying to find herself and her confidence. And that was so relatable. I remember, like, to give you like a little insight, there was one episode in particular where Lizzie is wanting to have her first bra. And she does not know how to talk to her mother about this. And they're in a store and she's like awkwardly looking around the racks and rummaging. And she like doesn't know how to get over to the bra section with her mom there. She's just totally embarrassed. And she has this big public freak out where she like screams to her mom who's hovering that she just wants a bra. I want a bra, mom. And the coolest thing about the Lizzie McGuire show, and you'll see this in the movie, is there's this character, this little cartoon version of Lizzie, where it's always popping up throughout the show where you get her inner monologue of like what she's thinking, what she's feeling, and then you see what she actually says to the outside world. And I felt like that was just so, I don't know. It was like the first time you saw that in a show, like with a young girl, like going through her inner struggles and getting to hear that play out and being like, that's me. And you got to see like how she had that conversation with her mom and how she handled it. And it was like, wow, I'm going through the same thing right now in my life. You know, I was around the same age as the character. One of the things on the show and in the movie, you'll see like there's a character that's kind of like the bully, you know, her kind of, you know, nemesis on the show. And that was something that I was like really relating to at that time. Like, you know, I think all kids, unfortunately, you know, at some point in their life can remember a bully or someone who just they did not get along with growing up. And I remember her navigating those conversations like with her friends and her parents about this one person that she just can't stand. And that was really relatable. And then, you know, it was stuff like boy drama or best friend drama. And all of that, you know, I was going through at the same time, and I got to see it like play out, you know, in prime time. And it was pretty incredible, just to finally see something so relatable. Cause at the time, like, you know, the people I was like looking up to, or, you know, thinking were the coolest thing, you know, they were the Britneys and the Christinas and, you know, Destiny's Child and all these, you know, gals that could never be me. But this was the first time I saw someone who I was like, oh, this is like me. This is what I'm going through. And this person, you know, looks like me, talks like me, and is having like a similar life challenge as I am at the time.
So you felt represented?
Yeah, I did.
Did you keep like a diary or a journal at the time?
I did. Yeah, I did.
Was it very much like the cartoon character's inner monologue?
Oh, 100% it was. Yeah. And I felt like getting to hear how she would talk about things like helped you open up, right? Like sometimes you're scared to even write down some of the things you're thinking. And it's so therapeutic once you do. So it was cool to see like someone on the show actually say the part out loud, you know, that you were had in your head, but you would never, you know, in your wildest dream say to someone in public. So it kind of helps open you up when you have that example. So the show is really just about that. Then you get into the movie, and the premise is more fantastical. It's a very strange premise.
All right. So walk me into the movie.
The first time we got to see Lizzie do something that was really like not relatable and really like a dream was in the Lizzie McGuire movie, which I believe came out in like 2003. So I was 10, and I remember there was so much like build up to Lizzie McGuire movie. You know, you see this awkward, gawky girl getting through her preteen years in the show, and then you see the previews for the movie, and it's like Lizzie's going to Italy and she's going to have this adventure. And I remember wanting my parents so badly to take me to the theater to see it. And they did. And we actually drove to a theater that was like not in our town, because I think tickets were sold out in our small town of North Canton in our theater. So we drove like 25 minutes to a theater nearby. And I remember that premiere. Like I remember the big movie poster in the lobby. And I remember wanting to go buy the outfit she had on. And it, like, it feels like it was yesterday, but gosh, it wasn't.
So if it went from totally relatable, very small moments
yes,
into very far-fetched territory, did it, but yeah. It sounds like it didn't bother you.
No, it didn't bother me at all. I was like, I was convinced at this point. I'm like, oh, I can do big things. I can dream big. Like if Lizzie can do it, I can do it. Like I felt like that was, you know, the start of something big for me. Watching Lizzie have her breakout moment, I'm like, maybe I have this hidden talent that I can unleash.
Really?
Yeah, that's how I felt. It was like a really weird thing. And looking back on it, it's like really funny that that's where my brain went. Because nowadays, if I watch something, you know, a show, and then I watch the movie and it's like a complete 180, I'd be like, this is terrible. I feel betrayed. But yeah, no, it was at the time, it was like an inspiring thing.
What did you think was big that was on the horizon for you?
I think at that time I had just started, you know, realizing that I was hoping to have a broadcasting career. And so obviously a lot of that is, you know, public speaking and being out on camera, and, you know, there's an element of performance to all of that. And I think seeing like Lizzie could do it, you know, little awkward Lizzie, and then knowing like, you know, I had the same kind of, you know, mannerisms as her, you know, I could do it too. And I could really break out of my shell. I think it just gave me more confidence that, you know, okay, just because it went through my gawky teen years doesn't mean it always has to be like that, you know?
That's pretty amazing, actually, because it's like The show laid the groundwork to get you to see yourself in the show. And then When it made the leap to her doing something huge, then you went right along with it and thought you could do something huge too.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to put it.
That's a lot for a Disney Channel original television series.
And maybe, you know, and I would venture to say though, I'm like, maybe I'm alone. But then when I think about it, I'm like, how many friends have I talked to around the same age who also kind of felt like it? Like they felt this bond to this show and this character that, you know, I don't feel like was seen a lot at that time in terms of like shows that were geared toward young women. Yeah. And nowadays, like, it's also all the memes, like everything's still relevant. You know, you can easily find Lizzie McGuire stuff anywhere. Some of the lines from the movie, like people still say, I mean, I think it's like kind of stood the test of time and you're like, why? It's so ridiculous. But I wonder if there's more meaning to it for other people too.
Do you think that the first inclination we usually have when we're the age you're talking about, when we experience something or have a feeling, it's almost like the first inclination is to assume that no one else has ever felt that way?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you realize you're like, a lot of people feel that way, or you're not alone, it's like, gosh, why did I not talk about this? I would have had all these people I could share this with and commiserate. Yeah. 100%.
When there's something that I'm like afraid to confess to someone, mm-hmm. or share with someone, and then their reaction is indifference because it's so typical or common, yeah. That's such a huge relief.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So, all right. Was the movie sort of a way to help Hilary Duff transition into her career as a pop star?
This is a great point, Chris. So I did it, like, I had to do a little research, okay. Given the former journalist in me before mm-hmm. we talked. So I looked it up and I was kind of fuzzy on the timeline. So Lizzie McGuire movie came out 2003. And then a couple months later, that's when Hilary Duff's first album came out. And I wonder if that was timed that way. I know
it had
one of the
be.
Things she's, yeah.
Because she wasn't a pop star about, in the show.
No, she had right. like a couple, there was a very iconic Christmas episode of Lizzie McGuire show where Aaron Carter makes a cameo and they do this.
God rest
like,
his soul.
I know. And he's singing with Hilary Duff. And she came out with like a little Christmas album. You know, around that time, but that was the first kind of thing she did. But her first solo album was Metamorphosis. I remember because I had it, and it came out right a couple months after Lizzie McGuire movie. And it was her way of really trying to break away from the character. Like, I know she, and I'm sure a lot of other Disney Channel, you know, child stars, you know, felt like they were always going to be that iconic character, and she wanted to get away from that and try something new. And it's kind of hilarious that this did launch her singing career, because when you watch the movie, like, the singing is objectively terrible. Like, it's not good. Like, she's better in, you know, in real life. Not, you know, she's not, that's not her strength, her main strength, I would say. But yeah, it ended up being like the beginning of all of that new chapter for her.
So how old were you in 2003 when the record came out?
10.
All right. So it makes sense that you would have had that record.
Yeah, what I had it.
What I have just remembered is that
I'm much younger than you.
You are, which means that makes sense that you would have that record. I had that CD and I don't know why, but I'm remembering that I had it, and I must have bought it, but I don't remember what kind of a dark place I had gotten to that I felt like I needed to go buy that, but I did buy it. And I remember listening to it in my Toyota Celica, which was my car when I was 17, 18.
Chris, our friendship has now reached a new level. Like,
that's
how,
really,
that's
I can't explain. Okay.
Why you had it?
No, I can't, but I know it. I could say like it was my sister's and I ended up with it, but I'm pretty sure I bought it.
I side note on this topic. My older brother, he's 7 years older than me. He always would rag on me for how much I love Lizzie McGuire. Like, he was always making fun of me. Like, oh, you're just watching Lizzie McGuire. Cause it was like the only thing he knew about me at the time. And I remember vividly one time I like came home and he was watching Lizzie McGuire movie on his own. And I'm like, he probably just thought Hilary Duff was hot, but I'm like, okay, you like it. Like, mm-hmm. let's be honest. And he was like, it's not bad.
What was the song that was like a single from the CD?
Let the rain fall down and make my dreams. Let it wash away my sanity. Cause I wanna feel the thunder on my unknown swing. Let the rain fall down. I'm coming clean. I'm coming clean.
that must have been the song that did it. That must have been the song that made me think I needed to buy the CD. Because
you need to do it.
All right. So my summer job after I graduated high school.
Right.
I was 18 and I was listening to that CD in my car on the way to my summer job, drinking a Red Bull.
Yes.
But there's no.
No explanation. Oh my God.
I wish I could. It must have been an impulse buy, or actually, no, you couldn't really impulse buy things in the small town where I'm from. You would have to plan it and go out.
You'd have to work for it, Chris.
You would have to go 40 minutes to the nearest mall and go buy it, which is what I probably did. And I.
Wow.
I have no explanation for that. It must have been an inspiring message.
Yes, very, very inspiring lyrics. When I went back and watched it, I was like, because before this, I was like, okay, I gotta have a rewatch. I probably watched it dozens of times, but I was like, all right, I gotta watch it with a critical eye. And it is objectively bad, but it is like so good to me. And that's what's so funny.
I was going to ask you about that actually, because there are the movies that we really love when we're kids and we go back and watch them with a more discerning eye.
Yeah.
Sometimes I was going to ask like if you can see it objectively, but still love it just the same.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think, cause like in my eyes, still to this day, Hillary Duff can do no wrong. I love her. I think she's amazing. It would be like betraying an older sister or something for me to be critical of her. But watching it back, the one thing that stuck out so much to me was there's one of the big numbers, the ending number in the show is this is what dreams are made of. And it is so jarring to watch as an adult because you hear how bad the mix is and the singing. So what ended up happening was Hillary Duff sang part of her part. And then the Italian pop star, who's also Hillary Duff, who just has brown hair, is sung by Hayley Duff, who she was in like Napoleon Dynamite. She was the love interest. And then she hasn't done much else. She's acted in a couple things, but her sister sings the second part. And then at one point in the big, like crescendo, like climax of the whole number, there's this big line of like a long note that's held. She sings Dreams for like a long time. And it is a completely different third voice. And you're just like, who is this person? And I looked it up and I don't know if there's much truth to this, but in like the, you know, fan wikis type thing, they were saying that it was the singer who sang the theme song of the Lizzie McGuire show was the only person they could get to sing the high note for this, you know, part of the number. And it just, when you watch it back now, you're like, this is awful. But at the time I thought, wow, she can sing. She's so great. She's amazing.
Yeah, there are some movies when we go back and they really hold up, and other movies don't, but by then they've already captured our hearts. I mean, 100%. Yeah, I feel that way about, like, did you ever see the Flintstones movie with John Goodman?
Yes. Yes, I loved it.
I love it too.
Oh, even... hello.
Yeah. Have you met other people who are, I mean, you must have, that.
Yes.
Don't you wish that you had known them when you were that age?
I do. And you know what's funny? I remembered this. It like jogged something when I was thinking about talking with you. I remember vividly as a younger girl, while I related to the show so much, it was what you talked about where I like had that nervousness of like, oh, maybe other people aren't feeling the same way about it as me. Like maybe I'm totally lame for loving it. And I remember I was invited to like a Halloween or a birthday party. You had a dress up. It was like a costume party and a dress up as your favorite celebrity. And I remember dressing up as Hillary Duff. And I get to the door and I like knock on the door and they open the door and I see my friend. She's like, who are you? And I got so nervous. I was like, no one will know who she is or like her. And I'll be totally weird if I say it's Hillary Duff. And I said, I was Britney Spears. And they're like, okay, I don't really see it, because it's like totally different, you know, vibe. And then later on in the party, I like was talking to someone I was more close with. And I remember they were like, who are you again? And I was like, you know, I told them I was Britney Spears, but I'm like, I actually was going for Hillary Duff. And the girl like lit up and she was like, I love Lizzie McGuire. And so it was like our little moment of, you know, like, oh, I know who that is. Like, I'm watching that too. You know, I probably, because I had older siblings who would make fun of me relentlessly for watching the show, I probably had it in my head, like, you know, I'm just a weird kid who's watching it. But I think other people were too. And now that I'm older, like just seeing all the references still to this day to that movie and that show, it makes me realize I'm not alone. And it's men and women, you know, it's not, yeah, not just young girls who loved it.
Obviously not, because I had her CD.
Obviously not, Chris. You're a testament.
Thank you for listening to Why This Movie. If you have a movie that you love that you'd like to talk about, email me at christopherallenmaloney@gmail.com, and you may be featured on an upcoming show. Please remember to rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. And hit the subscribe button so you always know when we have a new episode released.